I'm so glad you're here with us today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. It's good to be in the presence of other believers this morning and worshiping together and learning about God and singing His praises. For those, most of you know me. For those that don't, I'm Mark. And it's just a privilege for me and my family to be a part of this church and a privilege to be able to bring the message this morning and share with you what God has laid on my heart and what His Word says, because that's what we're studying this morning. As you know, we've been tracking through a series on Romans, and if you've been following along with us, you know we're talking about how to be right with God. I think I have some notes up there. There we go. How to be right with God. And you'll know, remember, if you've been with us, that in the first chapter we learned that people have a tendency to turn their backs on God. And last week, Pastor John spoke from the first part of chapter 2, reminding us that although we might be pretty good, we're just not good enough. And if you've missed any of the series so far and you want to get caught up, go to the church website. You can listen to the messages there, and you'll be all caught up and know exactly what we're talking about. I'll probably refer a little bit back to previous messages, so I hope that doesn't confuse you too much. I would love it if you would take out your Bibles, though, and turn to Romans chapter 2, or your phone or your tablet, whatever, wherever your Bible is. Take it out. I want you to follow along in Romans chapter 2 with me today. Two reasons. First of all, this is the Word of God. This is not my words. And second of all, I want you to make sure I'm not making any of this stuff up. It's all right there in the Word, and it's not anything that comes from this human mind at all. This is God's Word. We're going to be looking at the rest of chapter 2, starting at verse 12. Pastor John took us to verse 11 last week, and now we're going to go on verse 12. I know many of you, I know because John encouraged you to, and you all do what your pastor says. Many of you have been reading Romans through the week. Some of you have been memorizing it. And so you've been studying this better than I do. But we're going to read it again together right now, just to refresh our memories. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you have a different version, that's okay. It's all very similar. So starting at verse 12, it says, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent, because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, then you who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward but physical and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that and living and just as real today as it ever has been, Lord, as the day it was written. Thank You for the privilege we have of studying this passage together in freedom here in this great nation. Thank you for what you're going to teach us today from your word. And Lord, as we delve into this, Lord, I just pray that you would give me the right words to speak, the right words to say, to explain this passage and to get to the heart of the matter here, Lord, that we would fully understand what you have for us today. And Lord, as always, I just pray that you would do more than we could ever ask or think or even imagine through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I must confess that Romans intimidates me. It's a very intellectual book, and even as Pastor John said in his introduction to Romans, it's a large task to delve into Romans. So I know that I'm not worthy to understand all the intricacies of this book, or even of this passage, but God is, and His Holy Spirit is, so I just pray that this morning He will speak to us and clarify this for us as we dig into this passage together. So let's look at verse 12. With the word for. Now, all of you English majors out there know that that is very important. Does my mic keep cutting in and out? Yeah, is that an issue? You want me to hold the handheld mic instead? Should I switch? Okay. Let's try this. I thought I noticed that. Okay. So what was I saying? English majors, the word for means what? Why is that important? Because it's tied to what we just read, or what is in the passage before. The reason it says for is because it's connecting what we're about to read with what was just mentioned. So if you remember from last week, you know the message, I'm pretty good, but I'm still not good enough. Well, verses 9 to 11, just before we're reading in verse 12, make it clear that that concept, that we can never be good enough, that concept is equally true about the Jews and the Gentiles, right? Because it ends by saying, God shows no partiality. So verse 12 is continuing that thought, pointing out that both the Jews who have the law and the Gentiles who do not have the law will be judged when they sin. You see, Paul was anticipating that the Jews reading his letter would want to argue that even though they could never be good enough to save themselves, well, after all, they were God's chosen people and they had the law to save them. He says in verse 13, it is not hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Then Paul goes on even further to say that the Gentiles can obey the law without having the law. They are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law, in verse 14. And he ends this first section of the passage by reiterating that God will judge everyone, and the secrets of our hearts, our sins, and who we really are will be seen by Him through Christ Jesus. As we continue into verse 17, Paul specifically deals with the Jews now. And it sounds like he's commending them at first, doesn't it? For being Jews and knowing right from wrong according to the law. Let's look at what it says. Verse 17, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, then you who teach others, you will be saved and declared righteous before God. Is that what it says? No, Paul turns it around again. He's talking about all these great things that the Jews have access to, the law, but he says, you who teach others, do you not teach yourselves? When you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Paul is admonishing the Jews for knowing and even teaching the law while failing to practice it themselves. In fact, Paul even quotes from the Old Testament. This is nothing new. This isn't a new problem in the book of Romans. He's actually quoting from both Isaiah and Ezekiel in verse 24, where he points out that the Jews are making God look bad in front of the Gentiles because they failed to honor God as they should. You all know what that looks like, right? You've been at the store, and there's that parent with a child, and the child is just having an absolute temper tantrum because the parent won't buy them that toy or that treat from the grocery store shelf. Right? And it's never happened to you personally, I know. Not me either. My kids are angels. But we see it. We see it in others, right? And what do we think when we see that happening? Well, two things. First of all, we think that child must be a brat. We're good at judging others, aren't we? We've talked about this in previous weeks, too. But we also tend to think, man, why can't that parent control their child? Or they did not bring that child up well. Well, that's what's happening here. The Gentiles are looking at the Jews, God's children, and it's giving the Gentiles a bad impression of who God is. Because they're looking and saying, if these are God's children, what kind of God is that? As if this isn't enough, Paul continues his illustration by addressing circumcision. Circumcision was that one physical thing that set the Jews apart from the Gentiles. He basically tells them that their circumcision is worthless if they break the law. They might as well be uncircumcised. In fact, he goes on to say that the Gentiles who are uncircumcised, who keep the law, will actually be the ones to condemn Jews who, although they have the law and are circumcised, break the law. Look at the verses again. Verse 25 says, "For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision?" Verse 27, "Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." Paul clearly states here that the Jews' religion, their religious practices, are not enough to save them. Having the law and being circumcised are not enough. All the religious activities and ceremonies in the world are not enough if it is only outward and physical. God looks at the heart, who we really are on the inside. It's kind of like this fruit. You're wondering what this was. I was joking with my kids that if any of you brought fruit to throw at me, I'd have something to throw back. I love fruit. I love the taste of it. It's good for you. It's great. But I hate buying fruit at the grocery store. You know why? Look at these grapes. They look good. What do you think? Are they sweet or are they sour? How do you know? You're not allowed to taste it in the grocery store. That's stealing. Who said that? I think that was my mother. They look good. They look delicious. But I can't tell when I just look at them whether they're good or not, can I? Right? What about this orange? That's a pretty good looking orange, isn't it? Do you want to eat this orange? No, you don't. It's plastic. That one doesn't count. Okay, here's another one. There's a real orange. What about this one? Oranges are the worst, aren't they? It's got that bright orange skin. But is that bright orange color, is that a reflection of the goodness that's inside? Or am I going to open it up and find it's all punky and bland and not very good? Or maybe it'll be sweet. I don't know. I can't tell by looking at it, can I? Here's an apple. I didn't even have to polish it. It came that way from the store. Isn't that amazing? It's a good-looking apple. Trouble with apples is I never know. There's like 50 million different types of apples in the store. Every time I go, they've got a different kind, and they don't carry the one I bought last week. I never know what they're going to taste like. Is this good for cooking or just for eating? Or maybe, I don't know. What about pineapple? Pineapple's a scary one, isn't it? It's prickly, and it doesn't really even look that good on the outside. Inside it might be good, but I don't even know if this is ripe yet. How can you tell? Am I supposed to poke it? You know, I don't know. Or maybe I didn't smell it. How are you supposed to know whether this fruit is good or not? Until we cut into it and taste it, we don't know. People are a lot like fruit. We can look good on the outside. We can do all the right things. We can dress properly. We can even preach the word of God, and we can sing all the right songs, and we can go to church every Sunday. But no one knows what we're really like on the inside except for God. Now, all those things are good. Don't get me wrong. Going to church is a good thing. Singing songs about God is a good thing. Preaching the word and studying the word, and those are good things. But if it's just an outward appearance, if it's not a reflection of what's on the inside of us, then it's worthless. Just like the Jews had the law and circumcision, if it was just an outward thing, if it wasn't a reflection of who they were on the inside, we're just like that fruit. Only God knows who we are on the inside. Now, I know this passage has been referring to the Jews and the Gentiles, right? And looking around, I'm assuming that most of us fall into the Gentile category. So we might think we're kind of off the hook, because Paul's being pretty hard on the Jews, isn't he? You know, those Jews. But we're not okay. First of all, remember where we started today. God shows no partiality to the Jew or the Gentile. It doesn't matter. Secondly, remember what the Jews are doing here. They're counting on their inside track with God. They're God's chosen people. They have his word. They have the law. Well, who do you think the world thinks has an inside track with God today? If you were to ask your non-believing, unchurched neighbor, where would you go to find out about God? What would they say? I don't think they would say that the Jewish synagogue down the street. They would say the church. We are the religious people of our society, just like the Jews were in that day. We have the law. In fact, we have more access to biblical teaching than probably at any time in history. I have, I don't know, 5 or 6 different versions of the Bible just on this tablet. I could take my phone and plug it into my computer or even through Wi-Fi, and I could load enough sermons from evangelical preachers onto this phone that I could listen to them 24/7 if I wanted to. We have the law. We have the Word of God. Yet how often do we dishonor God by failing to live according to His Word? How often does the world look at the actions of the church, of Christians, and think, if that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it? We are guilty of behaving just like the Jews did in the time that Paul was writing about here in Romans, the early church. God is going to judge us by our hearts, and that's a problem. Because as was previously established, none of us are good enough. If God is going to judge us by examining our hearts, He will see very quickly that we are not pure enough to enter into His presence. I know I'm skipping ahead. I apologize, John, but Romans 3:23 says, and you all know this verse, I think, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." None of us can even come close to reaching the glory of God. So what are we to do? So far in Romans, we've learned that we've turned away from God, that no matter how hard we try, we'll never be good enough. And now we find out that not even our religious activity is going to save us, because God sees inside us. Are you enjoying Romans so far? Nice and uplifting, isn't it? I don't know about you, but so far all I'm learning from Romans is that we are in serious trouble. Don't worry, there's hope. I won't leave you hanging. Paul is leading us somewhere with all of this. So look at verse 29 again. I think it's there. Verse 29 says, "But a Jew, And I know this is probably not correct theology, but try substitute the word Christian there for Jew, just for effect. A Jew or a Christian is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. God wants us changed on the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our own efforts in trying to satisfy the law. Do you see that there? God wants to use His Spirit. He says it's a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by me trying to keep the law or me trying to be good. God wants to change us on the inside by the Holy Spirit. And then he finishes the verse with, His praise is not from man, but from God. The Greek word there for praise is epinos, which is translated as praise, but it also means approval or commendation. It's like God saying, well done. Paul is reminding us we want to hear that not from man, but from God. We want God to be able to look at who we are on the inside through His Holy Spirit, not through our own efforts, and say, well done. We're going to learn a lot more about this. Remember, we're only in Romans chapter 2. We've got a long ways to go. So I don't want to give too much away about what's coming. But I want to encourage you today. I don't want you to go away discouraged thinking we're lost. Remember verse 16. I'll put it up there in case you don't remember it. The end of verse 16 says, I think I brought it up. There we go. The end of verse 16 says, God judges the secrets of men, how? By Christ Jesus. The only thing that can satisfy God when He examines our hearts is Jesus. You see, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, He dwells within us. And He covers our sin so that God sees Jesus in us rather than all of our faults and our failures and our not good enoughs. When we just have to understand that good works, they won't cut it. Our religious activity, our religious acts, they're not enough. They won't suffice. Only Jesus can come into us, change us on the inside, so when God examines our hearts, He's pleased with us, and He can declare us righteous before God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for teaching us and reminding us about who You are and what You've done for us and what You promised to do for us, Lord. Lord, it's so easy to get caught up in trying to be good enough for You, trying to do all the right things. And those things are good. It is good for us to do good, Lord. We acknowledge that. We acknowledge that the law is good. The law instructs us and teaches us, Lord. But I pray today, Lord, that we would never solely rely on our actions, our activities to please You. Help us always, Lord, 100% to rely on Jesus, to work in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, to change us into the people You want us to be from the inside out. And then our outside will show and reflect Jesus that's on the inside of us, Lord. That's our prayer today, Lord. Help us to go from this place remembering that and thinking on that and rejoicing in the fact that we have Jesus in our lives. And I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.